Send it in.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 5 of the Puck It, Send It In podcast. If I dare say so myself, this will likely be the most positive episode of the show we've had so far, as we're coming off an absolutely incredible game last night against the Toronto Maple Leafs that locked Florida into winning the Atlantic Division. And as it stands, they will be taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning in round 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, hey, everybody, I am Jake Gibson, joined alongside my friend and co-host Alex Krutchik, and another special guest from the world of Panthers media. We had Colby Guy on not that long ago. Now we have Alex Baumgartner. Alex, how are you doing?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, not too bad. Got a couple days off before the playoffs. I'm assuming you just saw, but about 5 minutes before this show came out, the NHL sent the first game schedule for the Eastern Conference. Yep. Florida Panthers are locked in for that matinee Sunday, 12:30 p.m. game against the Tampa Bay Lightning and Sunrise. So, yeah, we'll be at the rink early for that one.
Absolutely insane.
Love a matinee playoff game. I never felt like those day games had the aura that a playoff game is supposed to have. But, Oh, well, glad it's at least game one and they're not coming off of a night game and then an off day and then have to get to the rink early the next day. At least it starts with game one. Kind of a curious decision because I just saw it was originally speculated that it might be the 5 o'clock window for the Panthers on Saturday. I just saw they're giving that window to the Islanders versus the Hurricanes.
Yeah, so those are true. So I don't know exactly how it works. I know in years past, the primary network for that year does get the choice of the series. I'm pretty sure ESPN has the cup final this year because TNT had it last year. And now this is just me speculating because I think this is how it works. I'm pretty sure the network gets to pick the series they want, at least the first one. Now, obviously, the Hockey Night in Canada slot was going to go to the Leafs. It's the only Eastern Conference Canadian team. So that one gets the primetime slot for game one, Hockey Night in Canada slot. But, the TNT gets the Islanders Hurricanes get that Saturday 5 p.m. one, right?
Yeah. We'll quickly take a dive into the playoff matchups and what we can expect later down the line. But Alex, Baumgartner, to be specific, call you Baum for short tonight. But before we get any further, if you could tell everyone who's listening and or watching how they can follow you and the work you do for 5 Reasons Sports, please let them know.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at abaumgartner91. Probably should have put it there, but it's all right. Not too worried about that. And all my work's on 5 Reasons Sports Network. So pretty much every day during the playoffs, there'll be something new up there. Article, maybe a video on the YouTube. But yeah, it's pretty easy. 5 Reasons Sports.
They do some great content over there at 5 Reasons for every software sport. And I know the team there is already probably cooking up something for the Miami Heat matchup going on right now. Maybe we'll provide an update in a little bit. So, fellas, we saw one hell of an entertaining game last night between the Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, Toronto was a team that Florida has struggled to take on their last few matchups this season, but they absolutely put out all the stops from the second period onward of that game, scoring four goals in the second period and then an empty netter to seal the deal. It was Austin Matthews' second-to-last opportunity to get his 70th goal of the season will likely have to come. It is going to have to come in today's game when they are currently taking on Tampa Bay. Essentially, he was shut out, which is absolutely amazing for Florida's defense to do something like that against such a talented player like Austin Matthews. So as crazy as the 5-2 score seems, I feel like offensively, it was obviously a great game, but defensively is where it was most impressive, Florida's performance.
Definitely. And one of those power plays that Toronto got, I think it was in the first period, it was pretty early. They were just feeding Matthews in the slot there almost the whole time he was on the ice. It was pretty impressive just knowing, like, this is who the puck is going to, and they were still able to keep him out of the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, in big games, the Panthers have fared pretty well against Austin Matthews. Now, if you want to call this a, I guess it is a big game considering you do get the Atlantic Division, but I've seen it more so last year. I was in Toronto, that game that basically started their run to get them into the playoffs. Alex Lyon made a huge save on Austin Matthews. I think it was in overtime, like on a 2-on-1, which basically kept the Panthers season alive. And then obviously the playoffs last season. But yeah, you know, they played pretty good. They the Leafs had nothing to play for. They were locked into the 3 seed and they were going to play whoever was in the 2nd seed, no matter what. The Panthers, on the other hand, as we know now, you win or you get a point depending on what happens in Boston's game. Then you could win the Atlantic Division and you'd end up playing the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, well, Boston didn't really give too much of a fight in the last 2 games. They fall down to 2. Yeah. They get Toronto. Florida came out like they wanted that 1st seed. And, well, they got it. They got the Battle of Florida. So, I guess everyone's happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something that I'm really looking forward to. Obviously, Battle of Florida is always great. Hopefully, yeah, a better result for Florida this time around. But, well, I guess 2 things that I'm really looking forward to is it's the first time that Matthew Tkachuk will be there. And it's the first time that Paul Maurice will be part of that wonderful series.
I believe the third matchup against Florida and Tampa Bay in the playoffs. Of course, Tampa has won the prior two, including a couple of years ago when Florida had the last time they finished first in the Atlantic and conveniently won the President's Trophy in that year in the 2nd round. So I will say, before we get into the more positives about their game against Toronto, something that did kind of irk me, if you will, for the past few games, because Florida has capped off the regular season on a 4-game winning streak. It could have been a 6-game winning streak. However, they had lost in Boston in overtime. They were 1 goal away from a 6-game winning streak. But in those last few games, Florida had really nullified the penalties in total. That wasn't the case against Toronto today. They finished with 7 penalties on the night, as well as 1 power play goal, of course, being the 1st goal of the game for Toronto, which kind of set the tone early on and set the tone for the rest of the first period. So I'd say that was, if you really had to pinpoint a negative in a 5-2 win for Florida, I'd say it's the overall penalties that they gave up in that game.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, and Alex, you can help me out here as well. Most of those penalties were just the result of post-whistle chippiness. Like, it wasn't a whole lot of procedural penalties. It wasn't a whole lot of boneheaded mistakes. It was just a very chippy, almost playoff-like game that was getting both teams in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to happen. Like, if you watch the Panthers the last 2 years under Maurice, they're a heavy penalized team, and that really isn't going to change. I mean, they've definitely got the bad end of some calls on the latter part of the season, but I feel like every team has those spurts where you feel like you're kind of getting screwed over. I thought that even though there were a lot of calls last game, I thought it was – I've seen worse. Like, I kind of thought that both teams had a little bit of chippiness, and then once it kind of got away, I mean, there was like a garbage time call at the end, which was an actual stick infraction, and then they were trying to get Matthews that. The Panthers have a great penalty kill, though. So
they're
heavily penalized, but they've had more than enough practice the last 2 seasons, specifically this season, with their more revamped penalty kill. I mean, yeah, they'll have to tighten it up in the playoffs, but I feel like every team does. And I'll just warn you right now, it's going to happen. The Battle of Florida is going to get dirty. Both teams are going to pick up penalties, and Tampa does have a very, very good power play. And luckily, they have plenty of tape over the last couple of years, even prior to Maurice. You know what they're going to do, and you got to try and stop it. But, yeah.
So let's get into the 2nd period in that game. Unfortunately, I couldn't clip it, but the ESPN broadcast showed Coach Maurice at some point earlier in the 2nd period, absolutely heated, yelling at the team. And then immediately following that, Florida had maybe one of the best offensive periods you might ever see in a hockey game. 30 or 31 shots, the most that a team has shot in a single period this season. And obviously 4 straight goals, which pretty much nullified a chance of a Toronto comeback, when you're that hot. It began with a snapshot by Verhage. Let me just read off who else grabbed it. A tip in by Sam Bennett, a wrister by Reinhardt, and a slap shot by Montour. So the usual suspects getting involved early on in the second period. So guys, I know both of you were at the game, and I'm assuming Coach Maurice was asked about what he said to the players in that instance that I brought, where he was just absolutely barking at the players. Did anybody ask about that?
Yeah, you're never going to hear what Maurice says to the players. You might hear from the players he said something, which I can't recall. They might have said Mo said something in the locker room. You'll never find, even that Toronto game last year where you could kind of see exactly what he was saying on the bench. He'll just say, yeah, I had some choice words. I don't think it was to that extent. He probably just said, pick it up. But yeah, I mean, once again, it wasn't the worst effort in that first period. It wasn't great, but both of those goals were kind of just like Stolarz really had no chance, kind of gap up a little bit at the point. And you mentioned the 30 shots. I think they moved it to 29. Oh, after the 29-4 after the fact. Thanks, NHL officials. Yeah. But I mean, the Panthers, the one thing that we've seen all season with them is no lead is safe against them. They really can just flip a switch. And if you don't get up enough early, like late enough in the game on them, I mean, as we saw, 28 seconds, Verhage scores, and then they started scoring at will right after. I think like two goals in like 10 or 15 seconds apart to like instantly take back the lead. And they'll do that in the playoffs too. They did it last year against Carolina. Carolina flat out dominated them pretty much all four of those games in the first opening 10 minutes. Yeah. And then you keep it close. Yeah, they're going to come back on you.
And I feel like that was one of the things that the Panthers like kind of lost at the beginning of last season, was the whole cardiac cats mantra kind of went away, because I don't know if they were just if the offense just wasn't clicking yet under Maurice. But I remember last year, like if the Panthers were in a deficit late in the game, like that was it for them. Now they've got the company. Sorry,
Alex. No, what happened last year was they tried to, and this was openly said, they tried to play a combination of two styles. They tried to keep somewhat of a run and gun system that they had under Brunette, and they tried to do somewhat of what Maurice wanted to implement. And then in around December, they're like, yeah, this shit's not going to cut it. We can't try and play lockdown defense and then try and be the best rush team in the NHL. And then they flipped. They said, nope, we're playing lockdown defense. And all of a sudden, there's no 5-4 games or 7-6 games. I mean, the system they played under Brunette wasn't sustainable in the playoffs. And we saw it. They should have lost to Washington in that first round. If it wasn't for Carter Verhage, they would have lost in that first round. Mm-hmm. They could not handle Tampa, who plays very good shutdown hockey. And that's why they got swept. That's why they brought in Maurice. And then once they finally all settled in on this is what we're playing, it worked out. And then that kind of carried over into this season, where it's even better of a system now, I think, is now everyone's really locked in. And they had a full offseason to kind of hand choose this guy, Kevin Stenlund's really going to fit this system. Or Evan Rodriguez is really going to be able to plug and play here. And now we're kind of seeing the effects of it where, yeah, the Panthers had, 18 games in a row, like 15 out of 18 games over a stretch where they gave up two or less goals. So that's kind of what happened last year.
Yeah.
And they fully just said, screw it, we're playing this one way, and that's the way they have to play.
And that was what inspired confidence in me at the beginning of the season. I forget what the exact question was, but someone asked Matthew Tkachuk towards the beginning of the year, something along the lines of, like, how do you guys feel coming into this year? Does it feel like a fresh start again? And he said, no, it just feels like a continuation. It just feels like we're in month number 10 of this system that we're learning. Yeah. And that was when I realized, okay, like this is really just a continuation of last year. You saw they kept getting better and better and better as the year went on. And that's just going to bleed into this season. So far, it's been the case.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at some of the stats that Florida ends up with at the end of the regular season. No surprise here, Reinhardt leads the team in both points and goals, 94 points, 57 goals. Tkachuk leads in assists with 62. aside from that, you have Gustav Forsling with a 56 plus minus. Everyone who you kind of expected to contribute to the success of this team has contributed. So with that said, looking big picture here, and I'd like to hear from both Alex I, maybe, I don't know, who will be the most important player towards the success of the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup playoffs between either, I'll give you three players. Sam Reinhart, obviously having probably one of the best seasons of his hockey career. Matthew Tkachuk, once again, we saw playoff Matthew last year, and hoping he can bring that again. And Sergei Bobrovsky, hoping to also become the wall that he was from the first round all the way up to the Eastern Conference Final. Let's go with Krejcik first.
Can I go off the board here?
Especially
to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
Kevin Stenlund and Gustav Forsling and Alexander Barkov, because I'm just thinking of the defense that's going to need to be played, especially the penalty kill. You mentioned it before, Alex. They've got the top penalty, top power play in the league. They're at a 28 or 29% clip. I think that this series is going to be won and lost in special teams. And I think it's really one of those, you know, unstoppable force versus an immovable object. And their penalty kill has been so great this year, and this will be the biggest test for them. 4 to 7 games of just these two going at each other. So I think of those three guys on the power on the penalty kill unit. I think that's where the series is going to be won or lost.
I'm going to give a very cliche answer, and you're going to kind of guess what I'm going to say. And I'll be honest, even though we've seen like Bobrovsky, obviously the goaltending, you have top tier goaltending, those will win you series. And I mean, you got Andrei Vasilevskiy, who's probably the best playoff goaltender in the last half a decade, a little bit more than that on the other side. But Sergei Bobrovsky put up an equal performance to what Vasilevskiy's done last year in the playoffs. So you have two future Hall of Fame goalies, and honestly, they're probably both going to be on their A game. I think for me, it comes down to which depth lines can put in the best efforts over a 7-game series. The Panthers retooled their fourth line, and they retooled that competition of who they wanted to compete for spots on the fourth line going into training camp. And then they kind of touched on it once again throughout the season, throwing in different guys. They got bullied by Vegas. Vegas is top to bottom team. They could run four lines. And that's what Tampa did in their cup runs, where they would run four lines and they would kind of drive you to the ground. This team isn't necessarily top heavy. They're balanced. And that fourth line, centered by Kevin Stenlund, whether it's going to be Ryan Lomberg or Nick Cousins, or if you got to throw Jonah Gadjevich in there, and then Steven Lorenz can jump in. You got big, hard-hitting bodies that can also play a smart game of hockey. And, I mean, yeah, Kyle Pozo can jump in there too. So they added a lot of depth throughout the season, from the training camp up to the trade deadline, specifically to be able to roll guys they trust. Because if you look at what they had last year in the Stanley Cup Final, they kind of got by until they got to the Vegas series. And then it's like, well, we got to play Giovanni Smith, and we got to play Colin White. And Zach Dalpe did put in a great shift, but now you got about five guys that are over Zach Dalpe in the depth chart right now. So that's just kind of what I think. It's the depth pieces and how they can roll out. And the defense too. The defense depth pieces are way better right now than they were last year, because you had Casey Fitzgerald coming into a Stanley Cup. I don't know if he played in a final. I think he did play in a cup final game, but now you have Josh Mahura, who played every single game last year, possibly as your eighth defenseman. So I think the depth pieces is what's the most important for the Panthers in this first round.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. Well said. So let's take a look into our CAT scan for this episode of the Puck It Send It In podcast. And there are so many players to talk about in the midst of what will be an upcoming playoff push. However, again, since we've been talking so much about last, Alex Krejcik just dipped, but that's okay. I'm sure he'll hop on a sec. He has the link. So I'd like to talk a bit more about Tkachuk and what Tkachuk brings to a playoff, what he contributes to the team in a playoff atmosphere. It's funny because, again, the Heat are playing right now. And everyone talks about, playoff Jimmy Butler for the Miami Heat. Playoff Matthew Tkachuk is also an absolutely insane animal. Can't even recall off the top of my head how many overtime game winners and just game winners in general that he was responsible for in last year's playoff push. So
I think he had at least three that he scored.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
No, I think just jumping on your point. I think he had at least three. He had two Carolina ones back to back and then that Boston one.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, with that said, all right, as Alex is rejoining, Alex Krejcik, to be specific, you said your internet went out?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's all good. We were just talking about Tkachuk and what he can bring to this team in the playoffs. Between him and Reinhardt, that is a duo on offense that you would suspect to lead the way, but specifically Tkachuk and this upcoming playoff run, do you think he's going to once again match the success that he brought to this team last year, which was borderline unbelievable?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see the duo of Tkachuk and Reinhardt, especially in the first power play unit. I think that's something that was their bread and butter offensively just as a whole, but especially on that first power play unit was just Tkachuk down in the screen and then feeding it to Reinhardt at the bumper or vice versa. I think, to me at least, that's going to be something that I'm looking for.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously Tkachuk is a player that's built for the playoffs. He plays that kind of hard-nosed hockey that he can score, he can hit. He'll kind of muck it up in the corners. He'll definitely get into scrums too. Now, he's probably not dropping the gloves, but he's going to make someone want to drop the gloves and punch him in the face. Yeah. But for me, the most clutch player for the Panthers the last four playoffs now, well, going into this one, three straight playoffs have been Carter Verhaeghe. Mm-hmm. Him and Tkachuk clicked a lot last year in that Boston series and in that Carolina, I mean, all the playoffs when they were paired up with each other. But yeah, Carter Verhaeghe's been captain clutch all season with the Panthers this year. He's been amazing in the playoffs. Already has a Stanley Cup with the Lightning, and he was kind of a depth player on that run, and now he's truly blossomed into a legit elite goal scorer, and he shows up in the third period and he shows up in the playoffs. So you have a couple weapons that are going to be important. But yeah, the Panthers didn't have Tkachuk the first two times that they played Tampa in the playoffs. They didn't have Paul Maurice, as you mentioned. It's a different team. The teams that lost to the Lightning, even though there's certain players that are still here, that was the Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar kind of Andrew Brunette / Quenneville era. It's a completely different hockey team. And that's why I understand the fans kind of being on the ropes, like, we need to get over that hump of Tampa. Yeah, you do. Because if you don't get over Tampa this year, you're golfing early. But I don't think the players are necessarily worried that, we got to play the big bad Lightning. And the Lightning definitely do not worry that, we got to go play the Panthers. Yeah, we've ran them out of their own building multiple years in a row. So it's going to be a great series.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett said last night, kind of like to your point, Alex, it's a different team. And even the guys that are here are different. Like these players, even the ones that have been here for years, have grown so much in the last couple of years to the point where we're not even talking about the same players. And we'll talk about it later, but even some guys look like they might even regress a little bit on the other side, like Andre Vasilevsky maybe. We'll talk about that soon. But
I can't ever doubt that guy.
So I'm going to ask you, since we're here, I'm going to ask you, yes, playoff Vasilevsky is a thing. Playoff hockey is a thing. Weird things happen in the playoffs. How much do you balance the idea that, like, Andre Vasilevsky turns into a different guy in the playoffs versus this is also probably the weakest he's looked in his career?
I mean, Bob kind of hit a switch and turned back to prime Bob last year. I think Vasilevsky will be fine. The Panthers have traditionally gotten quite a few past them in regular season play, and they've done well in the playoffs too, better than a lot of teams have against Vasilevsky. Now, elimination Vasilevsky is another animal on top of playoff Vasilevsky up until last year. But I'm more worried for Tampa that they don't have Mikhail Sergachev, because he was a focal point on that blue line for their Stanley Cups, and he's a very aggressive, very good defenseman. Victor Hedman still plays at an elite level, but you got to wonder, are the legs going to be out on these guys that have had multiple years of long playoff runs? It hasn't affected them in the regular season because they've been on a great form, but I think this one goes the distance.
Yeah. I as well. And I also wonder, like you said, like there are guys on that blue line, but it's not a particularly deep defensive room. So I do wonder like how much the Panthers can just pick on them when certain guys are off the ice. It's not like they're throwing pair after pair at you. It's really only a couple
guys. Which is what Vegas did.
Exactly. With Tampa, like those guys are only going to be on the ice for 15 to 20 minutes. What happens the other 40 minutes?
Yeah, but that team knows how to win. So it's going to be a good, it's going to be a very good, it's like Boston, right?
Yeah. And It's the intangibles for me because, yeah, I can't get that out of my head that it's still Andrei Vasilevsky. It's still the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, no. All right. So let's take a look at the current playoff matchups and what really piques our interest. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Eastern Conference is completely set. The Western Conference is still up for grabs. There's going to be a few games tomorrow that'll decide that for the Western Conference. So starting with the East, we have obviously Florida taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. We have Boston, who was, for the longest time, we had suspected it was going to end up being Florida taking on Toronto and Boston taking on Tampa. It's been reversed. Boston's going to be taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. The New York Rangers are going to be taking on the Washington Capitals, who snuck their way in, knocking off both Detroit and Pittsburgh in the process. And then the Carolina Hurricanes taking on the New York Islanders. So let's assume, and we'll all probably give a prediction at the end how we think the series is going to go, but let's assume we're all saying that, all right, Florida's getting out of the first round. First of all, who is it most likely that the Panthers are going to take on? And was winning the Atlantic Division and taking on Tampa Bay in general the best case scenario for Florida, or would it have been more preferable if they had took on the team they just beat, the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I don't think in the playoffs there's any best case scenario. I mean, I think the most favorable matchup for any team is New York getting Washington, that probably shouldn't have gotten into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I say that they might upset the Rangers, but that's probably the most unlikely one that I see. I don't think there's a favorable. It's like, okay, we either get Tampa or we get Toronto. I think they're both very evenly matched up against the Panthers on paper. Now, getting that first seed does help you if you are to progress later down the line, because not only – so I'm not going to say if the Panthers win, because – we got to see some hockey first. But hypothetically, yeah, whoever wins their division, not only do you get home ice for the first round and the second round, which is your divisional matchup, say either Florida or New York gets bounced before the conference final. Well, let's say New York gets bounced before the conference final because they're the President's Trophy winners. And then Carolina comes into Florida. Carolina had more points, but the Panthers won their division. So now you have home ice against Carolina. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the only big benefit of winning your division is you get home ice in a pivotal game seven. But for matchup reasons, and the Panthers have said this and Marisa said this, there's really no preferred matchup because the Boston Bruins probably wanted to play the Florida Panthers more than they wanted to play the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round last year or the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. And we saw what happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then, by the way, aside from Florida and Tampa, which is the most interesting Eastern Conference matchup aside from that? If you had to pick Tampa from Boston. One of the three.
Or Toronto-Boston, excuse me.
Yeah, Toronto-Boston for sure. I'm very curious to see how Boston reacts to how they go into the playoffs after being bounced in the first round last year. I'm always interested in those teams, not just in hockey, but like in other sports as well. Like Virginia, University of Virginia getting bounced by number 16 UMBC, and then coming back for next year winning the national championship. Just things like that. I'm curious to see how they'll respond to that.
Yeah. So taking a detour now, Bomb, I wanted to ask Aaron Ekblad. His status is day-to-day. However, Coach Maurice and the team has said a few times that it was expected that he'd be back come game one of this series. Is that still expected to be the case for him?
Last Panthers practice where him and Verhaeghe hit the ice for the first time with the full squad. I mean, Verhaeghe played last game, but they both hit the ice non-contact jerseys and they took a normal practice. Maurice likes getting his guys into at least one to two normal practices. Playoffs, a little different. At least one normal practice if it happened during the playoffs. But they got 5 days, or I guess 4 days from now until they have to play game one. 3.5, considering it's a 1 p.m. game. Panthers don't practice tomorrow. They'll get the full schedule on what they're actually doing later on in the week. I mean, Ekblad should be there for game one just based off the timeline that was originally given and that he's already skating in a non-contact and he took a full practice and he's going to have at least one to two more full practices before game one. I'm not saying he'll play because we won't know until game time, but yeah, he'll be back.
Well, that's great. Well, that is just great to hear. By the way, since you brought it up, a 1 o'clock puck drop on Sunday for the Atlantic Division winners. How do we feel about that? It's on one hand, traffic getting to and from the arena should be pretty light. It's a Sunday. I don't know. I kind of love it and hate it at the same time.
I hate matinee games, and as Alex brought up earlier, it feels a little bit of a different game. You don't have your morning skate. The players are very superstitious on what they do. Like, you're not ripping a pregame nap. Your pregame meal either is going to be different or you're eating pasta at 8 a.m. It's a little weird to start the playoffs off at 12:30, especially considering the Panthers, I mean, they played in the Stanley Cup final last year, so they were used to a lot of primetime games, but everyone in the first round gets at least one really weird game. I mean, they'll throw you into a back-to-back in the playoffs in the first round. They just need to cram as many games as they can, and they also have to worry about the NBA playoffs at the same time between buildings and TV rights. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks, but I think every team's going to have a really stupid time slot eventually in the first round.
So there's two reasons that, like, I mean, other than just for, like, experience and vibe purposes, there's two reasons why I'm actually, like, fine with it. And I mentioned one of them before, which is it's the first game of the series. It's not like you got to play a night game on Saturday and then break on Sunday and then come back on, like, Monday. I know they wouldn't play a day game on Monday, but, like, let's say they come back and have to play a 12 o'clock game on Monday. Now you really get, like, a day and a half to rest instead of two full days. The other thing is, like we mentioned before, Aaron Ekblad still has to get a couple practices under his belt. This gives him an extra day. Gives everyone an extra day, even the guys that aren't injured, just an extra day to just rest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, alrighty then. Let's take another detour here and look at the how the rest of the NHL is looking. By the way, Tampa Bay is up 3-1 over Toronto. No, it was not Austin Matthews that got that one goal for them.
Ryan Reeves.
So he's still
Anthony Duclair just scored.
Oh, is that right?
Well, the third goal.
I keep on forgetting he's even part of the Lightning. The New York Islanders and Pittsburgh are tied 2 goals each. So that's what's going on right now. So let's do a segment we like to do around the NHL. We'll predict a couple of games for tomorrow. let's start off. Let me pull it here. All right. So let's take a look at some of the most interesting games tomorrow, the 18th. Granted, the bottom two games are pretty much, can this team upset a team that's significantly better than them? But the first couple of matchups are very intriguing. You have Winnipeg. You have Winnipeg hosting the Vancouver Canucks in the earlier part of the day. Actually, I take that back. It's an 8 p.m. start. They're all night games tomorrow. So still, it's, again, it could be a potential, not playoff prediction. It could even be a Western Conference final prediction. So this matchup you might just see again. With that said, both teams are obviously very good. However, you have to factor in the home crowds and how much they can bring to the atmosphere, especially in these Canadian versus Canadian matchups. I'll go with Winnipeg in a very close one.
Yeah, I'll go with Winnipeg as well, just because I can never bet against Connor Hellebuyck. Mm-hmm. Assuming he's playing tomorrow. So I'll go with Winnipeg.
Just considering both teams have no reason to win that game because the standings are the same or no matter what happens, I'll just say we'll go Vancouver because I doubt that everyone's going to field their full lineups.
This is the first time during the segment we won't even have to predict a Panthers game as well, which is kind of refreshing. So let's move on to Edmonton taking on the Colorado Avalanche. So Colorado has, again, a case of both teams locking up a playoff spot. It's just now it's on who they're going to be playing in the first round of the playoffs. I believe that can still be affected from games like this. So with that said, again, another close matchup. Two very even teams, not just in placement, but in style of how they perform. I'll go with, again, Colorado because they're the home team. And again, it's a cheap answer, but again, home games matter a lot during this stretch of the season. So I'll take the Avs. Krejcik, who do you got?
I'm going to go with the Avs as well just because I'm going to stick with the home team.
Just go with Edmonton. They'll hit 50 wins if they do it. Once again, no movement in the standing for them, but they still don't know who they're playing, though, because of one of the next games you're going to talk about.
And that's the intriguing part about this is that the Western Conference is still so many questions there. And it's fun that they're all going to be decided on one single day, which is tomorrow. So let's get into Anaheim taking on the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Anaheim is way eliminated from playoff contention, and Vegas has again secured a playoff spot as it would stand right now. So here's how it stands currently in the Western, by the way. Dallas would take on the LA Kings, Winnipeg would take on Colorado, Vancouver would take on Nashville, and Edmonton would take on Vegas, but that's all subject to change based on what the hell happens tomorrow. This is a question of can Anaheim upset Vegas just for the hell of it? And regardless of who plays or who doesn't play for Vegas tomorrow, I think the answer is still hell no. Give me the Golden Knights.
I think because this is one of the few games where a team actually has something to play for, I'll go with the team that has something to play for. I'll go with the Knights, who are going to try to stay in the top three of their division.
Yeah, I'll just go with Vegas, too. Vegas and LA are the only two teams I think that can switch anything at this point, because I'm pretty sure Dallas has already locked up Vancouver can still win the West, right? With the tiebreaker.
I believe they can, yes.
Yeah, so there's two. Yeah, let's go Vegas, and I'll go LA too, just to have chaos.
Yeah. So Bedard's first season in the NHL is going to come to a close. They're taking on the Kings, all things considered. Yeah, I think Bedard's going to be a great player for the Blackhawks. They just don't really have anyone around him to sustain success, at least for now, kind of like Wemby. And the San Antonio Spurs, similar situation. Can they knock off the LA Kings? No, they can't. I'm going with the Kings. Krejcik, who you got?
I'll go with the Blackhawks just because why not? I'd like to see Connor Bedard notch a couple more goals. And I just think it would be fun to see the underdog win.
Yeah. Alrighty then, by the way. Because we've been making a habit about talking about this team for some reason these last couple episodes, There's a matchup tonight at 10 o'clock. Edmonton's taking on the Yotes in what will likely be the last hockey game ever played in the state of Arizona in the history of the National Hockey League. All things considered, because we had reported when it was announced that, they're going to be staying in Phoenix, and then ownership lets out that they're moving to Salt Lake City, and that is for sure going to happen at this point. So just such an unbelievably sad way for a team like this to go out in their city that they've called home for such a while. I think it's a whiteout game for Arizona. I think it'd be cool if they end their time in Phoenix with a win, but geez, you just have to feel for the people and the actual hockey fans in Arizona who are led to believe by the team that, oh yeah, they're going to be staying in that city for the long run. So it is what it is. So all righty then, let's start to wrap up here. Again, analyzing the first round matchup between the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Offensively, who will be the biggest players? This is all opinion based on what we've seen. The biggest offensive players for both teams in this first round matchup. We'll start with Baum. What do you think, Baum?
I go Kucherov, who just had 100 assists a couple minutes ago, and I go with Barkov.
I will also go with Kucherov. I will also go with our first round king, Carter Verhaeghe, against his former team.
Again, it's going to be a Kucherov sweep for Tampa, but I'll go with Sam Reinhart for Florida, capitalizing on the probably plentiful amount of power plays that Florida will get in this matchup.
So I only wonder, and I want to hear your guys' opinions, over a seven-game series, I mean, surely Sam Reinhart is, no disrespect to Sam Reinhart, but he's going to be neutralized a little bit more than he was in individual regular season games, right? Someone else might be getting some of the share of power play goals this series. Am I wrong about this?
Well, I think other teams kind of got the message. All right, we're going to clog the slot so they can't use Reinhart of the bumper. And then they said, okay, fine. Barkov will shoot or Verhaeghe will shoot. So the Panthers have more options anyways on the power play, where they'll kind of cycle Reinhart out of they've kind of transitioned into using Reinhart as a floater, where he'll kind of sneak behind the defenseman, which is what Tampa's done for years with Braden Point, and they've kind of copied it. So that's almost like two very similar power plays doing the exact same thing. So yeah, they can neutralize Reinhart, and then Barkov and Tkachuk will have to carry the load.
Okay, so you're not just saying that other guys will share the load. You're saying that other guys might also just take Reinhardt's position in the bumper, perhaps.
I mean, they'll move guys around. Like, Tkachuk will randomly appear at the point for no reason. I don't know why, because he's the best goal line player in the league, and he'll randomly be at the point and somehow it works. Or Verhaeghe will somehow slot in somewhere, and Barkov will start shooting. So, yeah, I mean, if they clog it, I mean, that's just going to open up another lane for somewhere else. So I don't think it'll be too much of an issue.
Definitely. No, yeah, I'm not concerned about the power play. I was just a little curious as to what the share load will be for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. So we made our offensive predictions. Let's go on the other side and talk about defense. Who will be the biggest defensive player, aside from the goalies, for both squads?
Biggest, like on the blue line, or like just in
on
general?
The blue? Yeah, let me clarify. On the blue line.
Okay. I mean, Gustav Forsling is probably the most underrated defenseman in the league. And I say that because there's been multiple mocks of the Swedish Olympic team, and somehow the guy who is going to finish with Norris votes. Now, he's probably not going to be a finalist, but he's going to be on people's ballots. Mm-hmm. I don't have a vote this year, so that's not me saying he's on my ballot. I don't have a vote, but he's probably going to be on people's ballots. He wasn't even on Swedish Olympic mocks at the beginning of the season. He's probably one of the three best Swedish defensemen in the NHL, and he's the best defenseman on the Panthers by far.
And it's everywhere. It's not just it's not just 5-on-5. It's the penalty kill too, which, like I said before, is going to be so important. He's just, any situation that they put him in, he succeeds at it. And he was the one that held it down when Montour and Ekblad were out. Like, they did so much better in the first couple months of the season than I thought they would. I thought that they would maybe be about 500, maybe even a little bit more than that. But largely because of Forsling and the early play of Mikkola, I think, they outperformed at least my expectations. So I agree. I think Forsling, I think the pairing of Forsling and Ekblad, should Ekblad come back, I think that'll be the most important one. If not, I know this isn't necessarily a blue line in the pure sense of the word, but I think that first penalty kill unit with is it Forsling, Stenlund, and I believe Barkov will be super important.
Do either of you guys think that Stolarz will be getting playing time at all this series?
No. Unless Bob gets hurt. Or if he has like three straight games of giving up six goals, which hasn't happened in years for Bob.
Right.
So, no.
No. Even in like in a random game three, all right, Florida's down. Like Tampa put everything. They're up 6-0.
No, they've already said they got their number one. Stolarz knows. Bob knows. Everyone in that room knows. It's Bob's crease, and he's not losing it unless they got to stretcher him off.
I love that answer. All right, so let's wrap up here asking the big question, not even a question, the big prediction. Who's winning the series and by what amount of games? I'm sorry, Alex, do you have a couple of things?
It was kind of similar to what you were going to say. I still want to do that. I still want to predict who's going to win the series, but I was just curious from both of you. We can start with Alex first. Rather than just straight up asking who's going to win, I wanted to ask, and I asked Kobe Guy this a few weeks ago, but now that we have the actual matchup in front of us, should the Florida Panthers lose this series? We'll start with the negative first. Should they lose this series, it will be because of what?
Not being able to clamp it down. I think Florida's offense, when it's matched up against Tampa, at this point, even though Tampa has multiple 40 goal scorers and they have multiple, if Florida needs to keep the games defensively sound, because when they do, they can run away with games. So I think if they keep the games playing the same way that they've bought into and they don't start cheating themselves, that's how they win this. That's how you don't lose the series. You don't lose the series by cheating your game.
I will say if Florida were to lose, it would be because Vasilevsky turned back the clock to 5 or 6 years ago and somehow stopped one of the best offenses he'll have ever seen in the playoffs, specifically on the power play. Well, from one man, Reinhardt. But no, aside from that, if the penalties add up and their power play penalty kill falters at any point in this series, Tampa Bay will absolutely find a way to capitalize off of that. And if that's the case, you could be looking at 2-3 goal deficits entering the third period, which Florida might just not be able to come back from. So I'll primarily go with an abundance of penalties and the penalty kill not coming in as clutch as it likes to, as they've done in the past.
Yeah, that was kind of a combo of what I had was Vasilevsky remembering that he's Vasilevsky once more, and the Panthers penalty kill versus Lightning power play battle goes in the favor of Tampa. So similar questions to you guys. How do they win this series? How does Florida win this one?
You get your offense rolling.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to them early, I think if Florida needs to get on the board early, and then you can start playing your clamp down. You can't start chasing games in the playoffs. That's when you get screwed over. Because every team, bar maybe like one, is going to be able to kind of shut it down. That's how playoffs are. So do not start trailing early in games. Get your offense going.
Took the words right out of my mouth. It's the secondary scoring, which the Panthers kind of struggled with during the first 80% of the year. I think Vladimir Tarasenko has been a tremendous addition I don't know what you guys think of how he's been, especially over the last couple weeks. I felt like he's slotted in so well in some of those depth lines, some of the top lines when he needed to be there. So I think I agree. Get the scoring going, especially in those depth lines.
Yeah, the Florida Panthers, if Florida wins the series, it will be because Vasilevskiy did not turn back the clock 5 or 6 years to become old Vasilevskiy. But I feel like to add on to what you had mentioned about getting into leads early, a big part of that can be capitalizing on takeaways and getting players like Verhaeghe or Tkachuk with one-on-one opportunities against Vasilevskiy, which is when they can capitalize more than any other way against a goalie like him. So just picking Tampa's pockets will be extremely crucial for the success of Florida, because otherwise Vasilevskiy is the type of goalie that can survive a barrage of shots back-to-back-to-back on him. He can do that. And obviously you're not going to have a shootout situation in the postseason, so that'll carry on over to the overtime periods as well. Hopefully, I'm praying we don't have a situation where we have to go into a third or fourth overtime this series, or just in the playoffs in general. I got tired of that real quick in that Carolina series. So, yeah, let's get into the final prediction. Who's winning the series, and how many games is it going to take them? We'll start off with our guest of the show, who, again, thank you so much for spending some time with us, Alex Baumgartner.
I appreciate it, guys, and I will have to unfortunately say that last year I didn't make a single prediction on purpose, and I worked until June, so I'm going to do the same exact thing and not predict anything for the playoffs, because I like working into the middle of summer. So I'll have to unfortunately leave it at that. Because even though I'm not superstitious, I'm going to be superstitious this season.
Is there any prediction about this series you could give us?
It's going to go 6 or 7, I think.
6 or 7? Okay.
It's not going to be a sweep, and I don't think it's going to be a fiver.
Okay. Alex, who do you got? Let me be specific.
I've got the Panther. I've talked myself through it. I've looked up the stats. I've watched the film. I spent all day thinking about this. I think it's going to be Florida in 6. I still think Tampa has the talent to get a couple of games. I won't say steal, because I think that they'll win a couple of games fair and square.
Yeah,
I think the talent is still there. I just think the Panthers are 2 games better.
Mm-hmm. So okay, so you're taking Florida in 6,
and I think it'll be very similar to the Hurricane series last year. I mean, a lot of playoff series are like this, in the sense that every game will be decided by a goal, maybe 2 at the most. I think the Panthers win 4-2, and I think that they win the series in aggregate by 2 goals.
Okay. I'll do something risky. I thought about Florida in 6 as well. However, that was the most safe, the most neutral, safe prediction, in my opinion, was to say Florida in 6. But the more I think about the matchup, and the more I feel like defensively Florida, I think defensively Florida is more well suited for this first round matchup. And then offensively, I think they'll also get the job done as well. I'll just get right into it. I'm taking Florida in 5. I'm taking the Panthers in a gentleman's sweep. I'll say that Tampa wins either game 1 or 2, and they won't win another game for the rest of the series. So that's a bold prediction on my end, I suppose. But I'm going to go Cats in 5. I feel very strongly about the Cats in this series. So alrighty then. Alex Baumgartner, again, from 5 Reason Sports. Make sure to go follow him on socials and check out his work. Thank you so much, Alex, for spending some time with us and talking a bit of Cats hockey.
Thanks, guys.
So, all right. So that was episode 5 of the Puckett Send It In podcast. And the next time we'll be back, there will have been some postseason hockey played for the Florida Panthers. So we'll see y'all then. Have a great rest of the night. Go watch some hockey tomorrow. And as always, let's go home, baby.
Send it in.